Welcome to Eternity Now. I'm senior pastor and evangelist Kyle Huckins. We're a U.S.-based church and evangelism movement reaching every color and culture for Christ. Our podcasts, videos, doctrine, history, and much more are on our website, eternitynow.com, eternitynow.com. This broadcast is made possible by your tax-deductible giving. Go to our website and click Support Us to see how you can help bring the good news of eternal life to 1 million people this year. Thanks for listening. Now for one of my recent messages.
Well, this Easter weekend, we celebrate Jesus Christ rising from the grave. But did you realize that because He's risen, you and I will rise too? I'll discuss this in my message, New Life, New Body, New Destination, drawing from Daniel 12, John 20, and 1 Corinthians 15. Let's now go to our Father in prayer. Well, Father God, thank you so much for this time to be able to celebrate Jesus. Oh, that we have the hope of eternal life with you, because He suffered, bled, died, and rose again. Oh, Lord God, help us to rise over our circumstances, to overcome as Christ did, because we're of His Spirit. We thank you for this Easter Sunday weekend and the Resurrection Day. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the idea of the resurrection of the body is discussed in the Old Testament. Daniel 12, verses 1 to 3, talks of the Jews and final judgment following the great tribulation. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep on the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This passage references the book, which is the book of life. Those who have received the Messiah as Lord and Savior and followed Him are written in it. Jesus Christ is that Messiah. In fact, that's His name in Greek and means Yeshua, the Anointed One. When our Lord came back from the dead, He became the first truly resurrected person, the only one who would never die again. So, as Romans 8:29 says, He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The very concept of resurrection stirs the soul. Consider John chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid Him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. However, there's something more to the new body we who follow Christ will receive when this present life is over. It is greater, as we see in John 20, verses 11 to 17. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid Him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said to Him, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you've laid Him, and I'll take Him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to Him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, It's my God and your God. Why couldn't Mary Magdalene recognize her Lord at first, but did later? Well, we'll find out by going to history's greatest source about our final state. That is the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 55. Verses 35 and 36 read, "Someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive, unless it dies. God in the beginning created us never to pass away, but we tasted the forbidden fruit, and death came into the world through sin. As we go through life, we think we're fully living, but we're not. We're in a fallen state and making our way in a fallen world. What we have is limited understanding, limited spirituality, limited capacity." Paul alludes to this here by saying, "What you sow is not made alive, unless it dies." Verses 37 to 39. "And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. A kernel of wheat is so small, it takes 17,000 of them to weigh a pound. Oh, we can eat a kernel of wheat, but since it's so tiny, it doesn't give us much nutrition. When we put that kernel in the ground, its form begins to change. Roots come under it, a stem grows to transport those nutrients higher. Leaves branch out that undergo photosynthesis, producing carbohydrates, giving mature wheat its heft, like in bread. Finally, there's the head of the wheat, which usually has around 50 kernels. Before we're saved, as our Lord says in John 12, we're alone, a quite finite element of a nearly infinite universe. However, when we're planted into God's good ground through receiving Jesus Christ, we change and grow, bringing good to others, impacting the land, people, even the atmosphere, and yielding a crop 30, 60, and 100-fold. Verses 40 to 41. "There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. The various elements of the universe have beauty, but each has a different kind. The celestial shines brightly. The terrestrial is duller, but with angles and rises and crevasses. The sun has so much light, we can't look into it long without going blind. The moon, on the other hand, has clear illumination that the eye finds easy to capture. The stars are points of light that might be seen in one area of the world, but not another. And so it is with us. On earth, some shine brightly and powerfully, others clearly and comfortably, yet others a point seen here or there." Verses 42 to 45. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit." Now, back when we were 18 to 20 years old, we were strong, young, handsome, beautiful, good in body, yet immature in soul and mind. As we age, our body declines, but our soul and mind gain strength. Our body becomes corrupted, that is, weaker or incomplete. But the soul and mind are less corrupted due to greater maturity. The spiritual part of us, similarly, will be much stronger after the resurrection. Verses 46 to 49. "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man, Adam, was of the earth, made of dust. The second man, Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." While Jeremiah 1 and Psalm 103 tell us that God knows us in the womb, Paul here speaks of how we are born without the Lord's life in us spiritually. When we follow Jesus, the connection creating the universe is restored. His Spirit comes into us and starts making all things new. We might not look much different, but we begin to think and to feel differently. Upon resurrection, we complete the spiritual journey, as well as see our physical nature purified, empowered, and made eternal. Paul discusses this in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 10 to 12. We then will be ready for the best existence we'll ever have. Our best life is not now, but then, an unending of that. Verses 15 to 53 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. No one can live in this body forever. It decays and passes away, and we can't enter that eternal state with it. These verses talk about the next nature event in God's agenda, the rapture. We'll rise from our graves, whether on land or sea, the mountains or desert, in a coffin, in an urn, or just scattered. But not all of us will die. We will not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, is what happens to us who are alive and remain at the rapture, which Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. Both groups, those coming out of the graves and the ones alive and caught up, will meet Jesus in the air and never depart from him. We all will be in heaven for the 7 years of the tribulation, then return to earth at the second coming of Jesus Christ and his millennial kingdom. 1,000 years will follow. Can you imagine a world without sin and we in it not sinning either? Oh my goodness, it seems like some days there is nothing but sin in this world.
We at Eternity Now appreciate your listening to this broadcast. For more, including links to all our programs and social media, go to eternitynow.com, eternitynow.com. We have over 100 videos on YouTube, and you can watch our services live there as well as Facebook, Twitter, and more. On our website, you also can email me, Pastor Kyle Huckins, and I'll respond personally. I welcome your prayer requests, questions, and comments. Again, that's eternitynow.com.
1 Corinthians 15, 54-55. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Oh, losing someone we love can be mystifying, agonizing, torturous, lonely. Even considering our own demise can lie heavy on our mind. However, God calls us to trust him when we don't understand. Rest in him as tough circumstances prevail. Refuse to give in to the enemy when he tries to make us despair. And for us to find our ultimate refuge in the Lord. This passage I just read is why. Psalm 90 verse 10 accurately talks of this life as 70 years. And if by reason of strength, 80. David penned that 3,000 years ago too. But friend, how long is eternity? How many days are in forever? Much better to have fewer days on earth and more at Jesus' side. Paul, a fantastic scholar of the Old Testament, here quotes Isaiah 25:8, with death is swallowed up in victory. That passage speaks of God's restoring Judah after it's been carried away captive. He then refers to Hosea 13, verse 14, about the Lord helping Israel, the northern kingdom, taken over by Assyria. All the chosen people are accounted for. Why? Because God said he would come for them in this time. He will, and they shall be saved. And in God lies our hope, not in this life. Oh, but in that great and blessed one to come. Today we have 7 takeaways from our message, Easter, Resurrection Day. Number one, our physical resurrection is portrayed consistently throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New. Our physical resurrection is portrayed consistently throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New. Not only do we have Daniel 12, 1-3, as I read, there's Job 19:25 talking about how his Redeemer lives, and Job will see him upon the earth. Psalm 16, verses 8-11, God will not leave us in Sheol, the place of the dead, neither heaven nor hell. Isaiah 26, 19 to 20, those dwelling in the dust will live again and be hidden in the Lord in the tribulation, the time of trial. And Ezekiel 37, verses 7 to 10, the dry bones live. And there are a number of other passages I could cite as well. Number two, our eternal bodies will look similar to our ones now on earth, but we won't be instantly recognizable. The glory of God will be in us and upon us. Our eternal bodies will look similar to our ones now on earth, but we won't be instantly recognizable. The glory of God will be in us and upon us. Mary Magdalene didn't know at first that Jesus was in front of her, then he spoke, and she knew. Number three, our current bodies are finite, limited, and see decay, just like a kernel of wheat. However, when they're planted in eternity, they have infinite life, unlimited spiritual vision, and never pass away. Our current bodies are finite, limited, and see decay, just like a kernel of wheat. However, when they're planted in eternity, they have infinite life, unlimited spiritual vision, and never pass away. Christ was as dead as one could be when laid in the tomb. His blood was drained, lungs collapsed, spirit departed. When we see him next in Scripture, he's able to appear anywhere at will, eats and drinks, gives lessons on faith and obedience, then ascends to his Father. I preached a lot of funerals, and in every case, the mortician tries to make the dead look as alive as possible. But in our resurrection bodies, we'll be more fully alive than ever, without even trying. Number four, the rapture will see the faithful dead come to life in resurrection bodies, and we who are alive at that time will have our earthly shell changed to eternal in a moment in time. The rapture will see the faithful dead come to life in resurrection bodies, and we who are alive at that time will have our earthly shell changed to eternal in a moment in time. As Paul writes so movingly, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. He describes this in more depth in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 to 17. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with our Lord. Oh, how beautiful, how exciting. Oh, I feel that power of resurrection even now, just a little bit. Number five, all the signs that Jesus gave for the time of the rapture have been fulfilled, so it can come at any moment. All the signs that Jesus gave for the time of the rapture have been fulfilled, so it could come at any moment. In Matthew 24, verses 40 to 42, he relates about the rapture. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Number six, if you're not a follower of Christ at the rapture, then you'll be left behind on earth for the seven worst years in world history. After that, you'll be resurrected either to a heavenly body or one dwelling forever in hell. If you're not a follower of Christ at the rapture, then you'll be left behind on earth for the seven worst years in world history. After that, you'll be resurrected either to a heavenly body or one dwelling forever in hell. Jesus Christ says of that evil abode, it is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Our Lord states that three times in a row in Mark 9, 43 to 48, and he's quoting the last verse of the Old Testament's book of Isaiah. Old Testament, New Testament, forever. And number seven, choose Christ now. Miss the tribulation in hell and receive the never-ending life of our Lord. Choose Christ now. Miss the tribulation in hell and receive the never-ending life of our Lord. Jesus says very clearly in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. My friend, do you know Jesus? I didn't ask you, do you know about Jesus? I asked, do you know Jesus? That is his Lord and Savior in relationship now and forever. No one gets to heaven on merit. We all go in by the grace of God in Christ, or we don't go in at all. We initially were supposed to live forever physically as well as spiritually, but the Lord gave us a choice of whether to do good or evil, and we did evil. Ever since then, there's been a great gulf fixed between God and us. However, Jesus living a sinless life and dying for our sins allows us to be saved eternally by surrendering to him in this life and following him. We get to exchange our life for his and live forever at his side. My friend, you can be saved this very day. You can go up with Jesus and not be left behind. I'm going to tell you how, and then I'm going to lead a prayer of repentance and faith that can begin your journey in Jesus. There are only four essentials to salvation. First, repent of sin, turn from it, and ask God's forgiveness. He will forgive you for Jesus' sake. Confess faith in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. No way to the Father, but by him. Believe Christ rose in body and in spirit. That third day in the tomb, ours needs to rise. His has to have risen. Follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. Oh, friend, you will do it imperfectly. I've been in the Lord about 30 years now, been ordained over 20, and I'm imperfect yet. But I'll tell you, my sin will stop when I get in the presence of the Lord, and yours will too. Let me lead this prayer. If you believe what I'm saying, then you can repeat after me, and this will be your prayer of salvation, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father God, I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. I confess faith in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. I believe Jesus rose in body and spirit the third day in the tomb. And I will follow him as Lord and Savior, repenting should I fall. Come into my heart, Lord God, and save me. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. So be it, is what that means, and my friend, it is. If you were not part of God's family before praying that, you are now. You've got a clean start. Everything's been wiped off that balance sheet with God for Jesus' sake. So what do you do now that you have connected in to that power source that made the universe? Well, go and be baptized. It is an outward sign of that inward change that you've just had. It's a public profession of your faith. Also, read the Bible. It's not just to be a bookworm, but there are 7,500 promises in there for you. And to grasp them, you need to know they're there. How do you possess them? Pray, my friend. Abide in the Lord. Remain in him. Pray. Meditate upon his word. Come to church. Be with us online. Saturdays, 5 p.m. Mountain for service. And then also on Wednesday, 7 p.m. for Revelation Bible study. Fellowship with other believers. Spend time, my friend, with those who know Jesus Christ. We're going to spend forever together. Let's get a start right now. And also come together as a fighting force that will storm those gates of hell and pursue personal relationship with Almighty God. Oh, friends, it's a relationship like none other. Closer than a brother, closer than a mother, closer than a father. It is God Almighty who dwells inside us. My friend, remember that Eternity Now is an evangelism outreach and church headquartered in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, USA, and touching the world. Head to eternitynow.com, eternitynow.com, to see our statement of faith, ministry news, interviews, timeline, videos, podcasts, and much more. You can see the weekly message Saturdays, 5 p.m. Mountain, live on Facebook.com/EternityNowMedia, YouTube.com/AtEternityNow, Twitter's at Kyle Huggins, or LinkedIn too. And our Revelation Bible study is Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Mountain, same pages and platforms. Our group reached 2 million people for Christ, and we want to do another 1 million this year, reach a million more in 24, but we need your help. $25 a month, tax deductible, where 501c3 reaches 10,000 people for Christ in a year. Just go to eternitynow.com and click support us to see more and give securely, or go directly to our secure PayPal giving page, bit.ly/reachamillion. Again, bit.ly/reachamillion, or send it to info@eternitynow.com. We've got some prayer requests, and you can go ahead and contact me and be able to submit those. I will give you that address, phone number, email in just a moment. Father God, thank you so much that we can come before you with our requests. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Without him, we would have no hope. Oh, but Lord, we have every hope of eternity with you because of him. I pray, Lord God, a vision of resurrection in Christ to every person on the face of the earth, drawing to salvation for all needing that. Wisdom and encouragement to every believer. God's conviction strongly in our country's leaders. Protection for every born-again child of the Lord. For Tomo healing, Amanda healing and deliverance. For Sarah peace, Michael freedom from sin, Vicky healing in ankle and knee, and Lizar greater faith. We thank you for all these. We pray for all those other unspoken needs that are according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. Contact me directly at khuckins, khuckins, at eternitynow.com. khuckins, khuckins, at eternitynow.com. Or call or text me 806-463-8793. 1-806-463-8793. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and be gracious unto you, giving you peace. I'm gonna shout, hallelujah.